It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
One. The State of the Union, over-unders on, come on, I'm not joking, whispers, and threats to democracy. My grade after a year of Joe Biden's last State of the Union, what I want to hear tonight from President Biden. Two, you wonder why there's hate. It's not because you might be conservative. It's not because you might be white. It's not because you're rural. It's because you won't conform to consensus, because you won't stay with the herd. It's because you're not a sheep. And three, live from the American Western Weekend, cowboy Dawson Hayes competes for $1 million against his brother and the Marlboro Man, one of the greatest of all time, J.B. Mooney, right here on The Will Cain Show. It is The Will Cain Show, streaming live at foxnews.com, on the Fox News YouTube channel, on the Fox News Facebook page, always on demand in audio format, on podcast at Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast, and on demand in video at YouTube. Underneath this video, click the expanded description. You'll see the button for subscribe to Will Cain Show. It's probably sitting in the corner as well. Subscribe to The Will Cain Show. You can get this video whenever and however you want, in part or in full. Subscribe to The Will Cain Show. Coming up today, we are sitting here live from the home of the World Series champion Texas Rangers, Globe Life Field. But this weekend, it's home to the American Western Weekend. It will have performances on Friday night from Luke Bryan. It will have a performance on Saturday night from Post Malone. You should definitely make your way out to Arlington, Texas for the American Western Weekend. We tried to get Post Malone. We tried to get Luke Bryan, but we weren't able to. But you know who we were able to get? One of the greatest of all time, the Marlboro Man, who may or may not light up a cigarette and wear his cowboy hat right here sitting next to me on The Will Cain Show. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be hanging out with J.B. Mooney. And speaking of rodeos, tonight is the State of the Union. We should set over-unders together. We should first of all set an over-under on how long it will go. How long will we have to sit through the State of the Union? In the past, we might have set that over-under at an hour, maybe even an hour 15. And I will grant you that the doctors have concocted the perfect combination, the perfect cocktail of Adderall and Provigil to have the president amped up enough to make a horse walk on two legs. He will be ready to go. But I would still set the over-unders for stumbles and slurs and come on mans pretty high. I'll tell you what, before this show's over, we're going to set the over-under for, I'm not joking. But I want to revisit, before we hear from the President of the United States tonight in the State of the Union, I want to revisit what we did here together on The Will Cain Show 1 year ago. What I wanted to hear for America, and give a grade for what we fulfilled or what we failed in the past 12 months. 1 year ago, we sat here together and I said I wanted to see 5 things from the President of the United States when it comes to the State of the Union. Number one, I said I wanted to have America overcome its racial reckoning, that we can move back to seeing each other as individuals based on our character and merit and not our superficial identity. F, we have been divided and inflamed on every line in society, and we only have leaned into that with greater hatred. And the promise of the next 7 months is that that will be a tool to make us divided against one another once again in order for certain people to retain power. Number two, I want accountability for COVID. I want to look back on why our schools were shut down, why our kids were kicked out of campus, why our businesses had to stop operating, and why we were mandated a medicine. And sadly, I'll tell you, there's been no accountability and there will be no accountability. In one of the most criticized elements of not just Joe Biden, but of President Trump, America will never see accountability for COVID. That's a sad admission. And when it comes down to round two of Trump versus Biden, what will go by the wayside as roadkill will be holding everyone accountable for a pandemic of fear. F. Third, I wanted to see promise on people's pocketbooks. Inflation, everywhere you go, everything more expensive. Inflation, a tax not just on the middle class, but a tax on the poorest. And the Biden administration will talk about the economy. They will tell you that things are better. The stock market rallies and falls. It ebbs and it flows. They'll tell you that economic data and unemployment are heading in the right direction. But I will tell you, you talk to anybody, and they feel like inflation is sitting on the top of a pile of timber. At any moment, it could fire right back up. And that'll keep interest rates from ever coming down. So on that, I'll give a C+ for at least holding it off. We'll see about the future. I wanted to then see how America would deal with the world. Would we turn to thinking about America first? Would we put our priorities over those from other countries? We've obviously not accomplished that goal. And in the meantime, we've managed to see Russia roll through Europe, Hamas roll through Israel, and everywhere you turn. Although CNN just this week told you, you're going to see Russian tanks rolling through Europe if you get a President Trump. Under a President Biden, the world is at the edge of war. F. And finally, I wanted someone to provide hope. There's hope here. The American people are good. We always have been. It's represented by what you see behind you. Dirt, cowboys, risk, risk tolerance, entrepreneurs, frontiersmen, pioneers. Every step of the way, that's who we are. And somebody needs to recognize it and provide us hope and understanding who we are as America. Fox News Power Ranking poll says that 69% of Americans think Joe Biden has failed to unify America. F. So as we look at what happens tonight with the State of the Union, I will say this. I'm going to give you some numbers. Here we go. Here's my over-under. 25 minutes on the length. There's only a limit to how much Provigil and Adderall can do. 25 minutes. I will say 6 slurs, stumbles, and indecipherable words. Let's count them down, in fact. I will say 5 threats to democracy. I will say 4 invocations of Russia. 3 commands. 2, I'm not joking. And 1, lean into the microphone and whisper a very serious point. There's my over-unders for tonight's State of the Union. And this year, 2024, here's what I want to hear. I want to hear somebody talk about closing the southern border. I want the understanding and recognition that our southern border is not an issue of race or xenophobia, that our southern border is an issue of security. Security to our jobs. Security to our children that want to go for a jog at the University of Georgia. Security for the inevitable threat of somebody walking over that border that intends to do harm the way we saw 23 years ago today in New York City. I want to see a serious solution to closing our southern border. I want to see someone talk about making the federal government smaller, not as a cliche, not as a conservative talking point, not because it's something we always say, because smaller is freer. Smaller is cheaper. That's how you bring in inflation. Because smaller is saner. This thing is out of control, and it's a car driving down the highway without a steering wheel, only picking up speed, or it's a bull without a rider. Latched on, or a rider latched on and can't get off after 8 seconds. This thing is chaos. It's out of control. Most importantly, smaller is freer. And that's what I want to hear finally. I want to hear, just like last year, how we're going to lean into who we are as Americans. Unleash corporations to get back to being those frontiersmen, those entrepreneurs. Unleash the individual out there who wants to start up a business. Get the government out, regulations and taxes. Cut this thing by 30%. Take it from Vivek Ramaswamy. You can cut a third of fat off this thing. And I want to see somebody understand that we're men, that we are individuals. We're not members of an identity. We're not groups. We're individuals. You know, right now, New York City's talking about putting the National Guard in the subway to keep it safe. The same New York Times columnist, Mara Gay, who endorses this year, a few years ago when Tom Cotton said send in the military to stop the riots across this country, said that was an attack against minorities. Now, she wants the National Guard on the subway. We have rights. We have property rights to our businesses, to our streets, to our homes. We need criminals put away from interfering from those property rights. And we want to be treated like men, free men. That's what I want to hear in tonight's State of the Union. But until then, after then, all this weekend in Arlington, Texas. And until then, tonight, we're going to focus in on that American spirit. We're going to focus in on the American Western Weekend live right here from Globe Life Field. And that's going to take us to story number one. He is one of the greatest bull riders of all time. He is raw. He's authentic. You never know what you're going to get, but you're pretty sure it's going to be real. It's J.B. Mooney here on the Will Cain Show. What's up, J.B.?
Thanks for having me.
So, your State of the Union?
No.
I'm kidding. We're not going to talk politics. Yeah. We're not going to talk politics. But, you know, J.B., you're from North Carolina. You now live here in Texas. You know, I'll tell you this. Can I just ask you this? This isn't political. I'm not even sure it's cultural. I don't think there's any sport that is more quintessentially American than rodeo.
There's not. I agree 100% with you.
Maybe the only debate would be football.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure rodeo dated back farther than that.
And it just, it to me, exemplifies exactly what I just talked about. I mean, it's the edge. It's risk tolerance. It's frontiersman. It's cowboy. Tell me what you think of rodeo and how it represents America.
Just the way I go about everything in my entire life, the old school way. You know, this is, guys go at it a little different nowadays. They're more kind of the athlete side of things, you know, trying to eat right and working out, things like that. But it's still, once you crawl off in that buck and shoot, it's still the old school mentality and let it all hang out on the line.
So you're talking about the guys who are turning into athletes and eating right, and you're still smoking Marlboros?
Yeah, I didn't grow out of that.
So is that a pre-shoot and post-bucking off? Give me your routine. I'm going to be honest with you and the audience. Like, the minute this show is over, a Zen goes in. I don't know if you know what Zen is.
Oh, yeah, I know what Zen is. As soon as this show's over with and I step out those doors, I'll fire one up. And I smoke one right before I come through those doors.
And how quickly after you get off the bull?
Oh, I had to make it to the locker room, which they frowned upon. But intros were really pretty good because I liked it. It was dark. They always had the smoke. Well, it just blended in, so I could get by with it then.
The other part about you that's old school is, and you did it at the beginning of your career, you wore the helmet. And very few guys have kept the cowboy hat. But you went back to the cowboy hat. I mean, obviously, and you've experienced, I don't know that the helmet would have saved you, but you've experienced some of the risk of not wearing a helmet. Why'd you go back to the cowboy hat on the bull?
Oh, my parents made me wear one when I was little, and it was more or less habit than it, you know, it was always in my rigging bag. I always grabbed it just like I would my bull rope, you know, when I was getting ready. And I can't remember what year it was, 2011 or something. I wasn't riding very good, and we were bucking practice bulls at the house, and I never picked it up. I left it laying on my bag. I got on, rode that day, and got off, and the guy said, "Man, that looked good. It felt good." He goes, "You just gonna quit wearing it?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You didn't wear your helmet. It don't know." Like, I had no clue. I didn't even put it on. And I was like, "That's right." And I never put it back on.
Never put it back on. So it wasn't, you were making a point about being old school. You just rode well with the hat.
I felt like I didn't lose vision of them. I kept them right in my eyesight. The only, with a helmet, your peripheral, you can't see side, you know, you're kind of pretty much zoned in. So, you know, when I didn't wear it, it's almost like I never lost sight of those bulls. No matter where they were at, I could still see them out of the corner of my eye.
So I'm going to follow up on that. So when you're, you know, this is a weird sport in that I don't know how you practice. Like, I know you live, you know, an hour and a half away from here in Stephenville, Texas, and I know you're raising bulls and you've got a ranch, but I mean, the danger of the sport makes it so, I don't know, you can't get on bulls every day and ride, can you?
I did. I mean, that's the only true form of practice you can actually do to help make you a better bull rider. They have drop barrels, you know, simulations, but it's not like the real thing. You know, a drop barrel does the same exact thing every time, just up and down. You can work on minor things on that, but the only way I was going to get better was to get on bulls every day, and that's what I try to do.
So 8 seconds for us watching feels like 8 seconds. What does 8 seconds feel like on a bull?
Just depends on how it's going. If it's going smooth, it rolls by pretty fast, like sitting in a rocking chair. But if it's going, you're out of shape and getting all that power, it takes a long time for that whistle to blow.
Are you 8 seconds? A lot of things in your life you can fit into 8 seconds.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Except on a bad ride, you can fit a whole pile of stuff in 8 seconds because this seems like it just like it's in slow motion.
So take me back to that slow motion. You talked about what you could see with the hat versus the helmet. I mean, to us, it looks like chaos and you're just riding a tornado, but you're watching this beast, what, 1,500-pound beast? I don't know.
Just depends. Some of them bigger.
You're watching him. And by the way, if anybody hasn't watched, they're athletes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what the way they move their bodies, it defies reality, gravity, and every other word I could throw in. And you're watching what? Like, what cues are you looking at down at that bull to see which way he's going to go?
Well, you don't really watch their head because them bulls will swing their head one way and go the opposite direction. So you kind of look where their hump is or right there at the front of their shoulders. You try to just keep your eyesight there. That keeps your chin down. If your chin ever gets up, you get reared back. That's when you get on all the power. And more or less, you ride them off the feel. You don't watch. Like, when they turn into your leg, you'll feel them. And that's why you have to work on body position all the time. You're constantly moving when you're riding bulls because your legs are what pulls you around. You know, when that bull turns back, you know, you got your head down, but when he turns, it hits that leg. Well, that pulls you. And it's pretty much like dancing. He makes a move, you follow him.
So, look, I'm all hat, no cattle. I'm pretend cowboy. I grew up an hour north of here, small town, and, you know, been on horseback plenty. I'm super ashamed that every time there's a mechanical bull on Fox and Friends, which I host on the weekends, I'm one of the worst.
Yeah.
And I watched 8 seconds. I know what to do. I know squeeze with the inside of my legs. I know lean, you know, get on top of my fist, and I think I'm saying the right things.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, I don't want to be leaning too far forward, but I don't want to be too far back. But there's something about that slick mechanical bull. JB, I'm an embarrassment.
I have to show you. I recently bought one. We found it on Facebook, and so I went and bought it, and we've got it set up. My little boy, you can turn that thing wide open and he'll ride it as long as you...
Really?
As long as you have someone sitting there running the controls, he'll ride that thing all day.
So you're from North Carolina. What got you into this? Were you out here mutton busting at rodeos in North Carolina? Like, why'd you start riding bulls?
My dad still wrestled, and I think I was 3 when I started riding sheep. Always rode horses, was always carrying a rope around, and they started letting me get on sheep, and then it went into calves and then steers, junior bulls, and I was 13 when I started getting on big bulls. And parents did not like that so much, but they got used to it, I guess.
So I mentioned you're from North Carolina, you live now in Texas. I don't know where we are currently. I don't know if half the guys on the PBR or compete this weekend are Brazilian.
Where
are the best cowboys? Where are the best bull riders?
It don't, you know, everybody thinks Texas cowboys, but when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, we could go to an open bull riding in North Carolina almost every day of the week and never go past 4 hours from my house, an open bull riding. And, you know, that was the place to be back then. It's changed a lot now. There's not as many bull riders over there as there was then. And I'd say the way it's looking, Brazil's got the more hungry guys coming, you know.
And they're different, right? Like, you're fairly tall. You're 5'10". You're pretty light. I always think, I've been told, I've got the worst build for a bull rider. Like, I'm 6'2", 180.
You'll be all right.
But those Brazilian dudes are big. My point is, most bull riders are not very big guys.
Yeah, most of them are not very big.
But except the Brazilians.
Yeah, some of them are big. They work out constantly. I mean, they're stout. I relied more on balance than strength, if you can't tell. And you know that those guys, they work out so much and they're so strong that, you know, if they do get out of position, they can hunker down and just muscle through it. You're not going to muscle an 1800 pound bull. I don't care how strong you are. So eventually something's going to give. And to where I never worried about working out, I worked enough during the day messing with bulls and working bulls that I figured I didn't need to go to a gym. I'd never seen anything in a gym that had to do with riding a bull, so I didn't go.
I mentioned it earlier. I don't know if the helmet would have saved you, but you've been retired, you said, since September.
September.
Broke your neck. First of all, let's get the rundown of the injuries throughout your career.
Oh, shoot. How long was this show?
There's no time limit.
Well, we'll be here all day if I'm trying to list back, because it started when I started getting on bulls.
What's the worst? I know the most recent one, but if I said to you, give me the three or four worst, what would they be?
When I was 18, bull stepped on my stomach, broke all my ribs on my right side, lacerated my liver. They said it should have killed me. Pretty much tore this arm completely off. Skin was the only thing holding it on. Got a first surgery. Candy Freeman in Dallas here put a screw, 13 anchors in it to reattach everything. That was the first surgery. Had to go back in about 2.5 years later and have a second surgery, and I'm pretty sure I need a third one because I'm pretty sure I ripped some stuff back loose. And that was the hardest one to come over. Lacerated my kidney. By far the shoulder was the hardest one to overcome because this was my free arm. This was my balance arm. Everybody thinks this is the most important one, but it's not.
Oh.
The one you hold on with, its main job is to stay shut. I mean, that's pretty simple. This one controls where your upper body goes. You get it out of shape, you're hitting the ground not too far after that.
So a couple follow-ups on the injury. So you get stepped on here. Do you have the vest on?
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, my bull riding knowledge extends to Lane Frost and 8 seconds and Tuff Hedeman. But, no, I watch you. By the way, when you came out, the fact that you were from North Carolina was, look, I know not every cowboy's from Texas, but Montana, Canada, Brazil, and then now increasingly like some Australia. Isn't Jess Lockwood?
He's Montana.
He's Montana.
Kai Hamilton.
Kai is Australian. Australian.
Yeah.
But I wasn't used to seeing somebody from North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
So, but in 8 seconds, I mean, it was a horn, but it was this area. That's what killed Lane Frost.
Yeah, just that horn hit his ribs. Broke that rib, and that rib stuck through the main artery going through his heart.
And then the shoulder, you said everything but the skin was holding it on. But I didn't realize that's your off arm. Like, what is that? It gets slung too hard while you were...
No, I was in Canada at the Calgary Stampede. Rode my bull, whistle blew, and I was a little out of shape when the whistle blew, and I figured I was getting ready to get hung up. My hand wasn't going to come out the way I tied it in there. I meant for it to be in there, and I wasn't going to have time to reach down and pull my tail. I was headed to the ground. Well, my rope slipped across that bull's back. And I guess as I was going down, I put my arm out to catch myself. Well, when I got close to the ground, he kicked at me, caught me in this armpit. So all my weight and his weight went down on this, and it popped my shoulder out the bottom side and just tore completely.
And I'm always curious, you know everything right away? You knew this is not
dangling? It didn't really hurt at first because I was asleep. He knocked me out also, so... I woke up and I couldn't figure out, I wasn't out very long. Like, I didn't have a concussion. I knew exactly what was going on, but I couldn't see. I had a straw hat on, summertime, and it was smashed into my face. I didn't know where the bull was at. I'm trying to get up. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't put my arm in front of me. I was holding myself up with this one, trying to do that, and it wouldn't last. Man, I must have broke my arm. Adrenaline was running, so you don't feel it. And they got to me and they said, you need to stop moving. I said, take my hat off. They pulled it off and I went like this. Couldn't move it. I look over and it was down here, and I was like, all right, I'll quit moving.
And then we were talking about, so retired because you broke your neck in September. You said you'd still be riding if you hadn't broke your neck, but the doctor said the next one's paralysis or death.
Yeah.
And I said, so I asked you, so you break your neck and you knew immediately, how do you know?
I don't, some weird sense I have, because every time I've ever been injured, I knew exactly what was wrong with me. I broke my back 1 year in South Dakota, walked out of the arena. Tandy asked me, he said, you all right? I said, no, I just broke my back right between the shoulder blades. You sure? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. T1, T2 was fractured. And that night when it happened, my legs were shot. I'd been beat. I mean, beat. And when I showed up, it happened in Lewiston, Idaho. When I got there, I broke my left leg about 6 inches, the small bone. I broke it earlier, probably a month or so before that. So my left leg was broke, my left foot was broke, and my right ankle was broke when I got to Lewiston. And the first thing, when I come off of him, he caught me with his hip, kind of twisted me around. Well, when I hit the ground, I thought, man, thank God he didn't step on my legs. And when I rolled over, I pushed with my arms to get up, and I said, I just broke my neck. And I got up, and I was trying not to use my arms, trying to keep everything, and I was walking on my knees, and I got up. A buddy of mine jumped off the bucket shoes, helped me back in the chute, and that's what he said, you all right? I said, I just broke my neck.
Have you ever I mean, you don't wear the helmet, so what about the face?
No.
Teeth, the cheek?
I'm missing a few.
Missing a few what?
Teeth. It's a little harder to chew on the right side than it used to be. I felt like I rode better without the helmet, but when it come to getting hit in the face, it hurt a heck of a lot more.
I bet. Is that on the back of his skull?
That or a horn, because, you know, everybody thinks the horns are the worst part. The horns are not the worst part. They're feet, you know. The horn hurts. I mean, you'll break stuff and get stitches, but the feet's where all the damage comes from, because you got 1,600 pounds pushing them down. And I think the first bull riding I went to after I quit wearing a helmet, bull turned back. I was riding right at the whistle. My feet went behind me. He hit me across the side of my face right there and broke my eye socket, my cheek. I walked around for about 2 weeks, looked like somebody had slid a golf ball under my, and it was a hematoma, blood had filled up in there, so I walked around like that.
Why is it worth it, all this? Why is it worth 8 seconds?
The feeling you get when you hit the ground and you make a great bull ride and everybody is screaming to the top of their lungs and hooping and hollering. And what made it better for me is when you turn around and you look at all your buddies on the back of the chutes, guys that also do it for a living, and they're just as pumped as the people sitting in the stands, you knew you done something special.
Speaking of the guys, so I said it. And so, you know, I don't take for granted that everybody watching knows rodeo or watches bull riding. It's a dumb question to ask you, but I said at the outset, it's one of the greatest of all time. I mean, you look for any list of bull riders and you know, you're number one on a lot of lists, you're number one for your generation on almost every list. But the other names are Tuff Hedeman and Chris Shivers and maybe Lane Frost. And then you can go to older guys as well, by the way, but who is the greatest bull rider of all time?
If you want
to say it's J.B. Mooney, you can say it's J.B. Mooney.
I'll never say that. I had a job to do, and that was my job. So, you know, if they want to, me being on those lists, miss, I did my job more times than not. So, I don't know. I looked up. There's a lot of guys. It's hard to break it down because, you know, world titles, yeah, they hold a lot of accountability for being the best. But, you know, Savano's won 3 world titles. You know, you got Adriano, but then Lane Frost, he did more for bull riding after his accident, you know, 8 seconds come out. Jerome Davis, world champion bull rider from North Carolina. That's pretty much who I looked up to. You know, I lived right by him. He's paralyzed, you know, been in a wheelchair since, I think, 98 or 99. And that, being around Jerome was what helped me, you know, because you're around a man that did it for a living, what you're wanting to do, and you can see what happens right there. Like, one day it's here, and next day it's gone, and it makes you realize real fast that if you're going to do it, you better mean it.
So in the locker room, like we were talking about the size of bull riders, now if I go in there, like, the wrestlers and the ropers are pretty big dudes.
Yeah.
But who, like, is there an alpha pecking order in the locker room when everybody's there together?
You know, the older generation, they think the older the guys are, they think they've got to say so in there. Me, I just kind of always stayed by myself. I would always go into the shower part of the locker room because I smoked, so I was always thinking about safety. Well, if I caught anything on fire, I'd just turn the shower on.
Always think about safety, the bull rider.
Yeah.
All right, last thing with you, JV. So you and I walk into a bar. You know, we're single. We're young. On a scale of like 10's a rock star and 1's a librarian, where is the bull rider?
10.
10?
Rock star.
You and he's old, Ozzy Osbourne, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Walk into a bar. We make you the same age, and you and Eddie Van Halen walk into a bar, and he's got nothing on you?
He might, yeah, but when I was younger, I lived life to the fullest. I took every advantage because, you know, riding bulls for a living, you're not guaranteed the next day, so I took advantage of that day every time.
I think it also matters where the bar is, right?
Also, yes, that does. But we had good time everywhere we went.
A man that lived to the fullest every 8 seconds at a time. Man, it's a real pleasure to meet you. I'm a legitimate fan. I follow him both in his career on TV, on Instagram. He's got a million followers. He's the real deal, meaning he's always real, as you can see. And you'll enjoy keeping up with J.B. Mooney. Thank you so much,
JB. Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, coming up, if you won't stay with the herd, if you won't conform to consensus, if you won't be a sheep, then you'll now understand why there's so much hate. That's coming up next on The Will Cain Show.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
The defenders of democracy couldn't be more disappointed that this thing's going to come down to democracy. It's The Will Cain Show, streaming live at foxnews.com and on the Fox News YouTube channel, the Fox News Facebook page. Go hit subscribe right now to The Will Cain Show. It's in the corner of this video, or it's in the description below, and you'll always get access to The Will Cain Show. You would be forgiven if you think it's a farce, it's not real, that democracy is simply a word they use in place of power. For all the invocations of we must defend democracy, we must save democracy, the defenders of democracy couldn't be more disappointed that this thing is going to come down to a vote. Biden-Trump, round two. Listen to Rachel Maddow a few nights before Super Tuesday talking about the fact that it wouldn't be saved by the Supreme Court.
There's no solution that is going to come, say, from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did the favor of reminding us all of that today when they ruled that Trump will stay on the ballot all over the country. They gave us that reminder today after last week. They made sure we knew it in the first place when they somewhat inexplicably took action to delay all the Trump criminal trials except the one they couldn't stop until after the election. There's no magic wand coming to stop this thing.
That's courtesy of MSNBC, and you can hear the disappointment in her voice. You can hear the prior hope that this thing would be saved by the Supreme Court, that democracy would be saved by the least democratic part of our three branches of government. That was in response to the Supreme Court voting 9-0. All of a sudden, Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, and Brown Jackson are Make America Great Again. All of a sudden, they're MAGA because they wouldn't interfere in democracy. Maddow went on saying, I guess we're just going to have to vote.
The courts are not going to help. The law will be a sidebar to the main decision. You will make this decision. The only way this decision will be made is by you picking one, by you volunteering and donating and campaigning and deciding it matters enough to you to not only vote, but to help your candidate try to win. The Republican Party really, really is amazing right now. But the only thing that will stop them is Democrats winning instead, period, full stop.
As is the idea of a democracy, we choose, we the people. But what you have seen over the last week is, I think, a poker hand laid on the table. You've seen all the cards. You've seen the real true sentiment toward democracy, and I think you've seen the real true sentiment toward, well, fellow man. You know, the only way this thing is going to overcome the apathy around Joe Biden is going to be inflame our divisions and our passions, and that's going to require, starting tonight with the State of the Union, dividing us once again on every societal line, race, gender, whatever it may be. Obviously, threats to democracy. What they'll do is other. They have to find something outside to unify their base inside. And that other has become you. There's a book out right now called Rural White Rage. It blames everything. Race, xenophobia, anti-gay, anti-democratic. It blames everything on one segment of society. Rural white voters. And again, on MSNBC the other night, Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, and Joy Reid told you how they feel about these voters, and more importantly, how they feel about the issues that matter to these voters. Listen.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what?
Just absolutely disgraceful. Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Chuckle, 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 laugh. Lakin Riley was killed by an illegal immigrant in Georgia. An illegal immigrant in Virginia was just arrested for crimes against a 12-year-old. In New York City, they've been in fights with police. Everywhere you turn. And look, I will grant you that what I'm laying out to you is anecdotes, but they're anecdotes that should amount to zero. And they're clearly the biggest issue facing many voters who rank it number one, the biggest issue facing Americans. And to that, they laugh. They laugh at what's important to you. It would make you wonder why. Why is there so much hatred? Why so much othering? And you'd be forgiven for thinking, oh, it's because you disagree. Well, yeah, kinda. But it's not because you have a different opinion. It's not because there's a different ideology. It's because you're not conforming to the herd. I read recently that 70 to 80% of the population lives most of the time in a consensus state. That means whatever everybody else thinks is the safe place to be, not just the safe, it's the right place to be, as long as you fit into the herd. And of course, if you are in a herd, you look at the strays and you have to villainize them for making that decision. What are you not doing in the herd? And in fact, not only do you disagree with that stray, you hate the stray. You hate the stray for pointing out that you're a sheep. That's where this comes from. And you've seen it over and over on any issue. Any issue, you can pinpoint this exact thing. How dare you fall outside the consensus? How dare you fall outside the herd? And it's inherently anti-man, because we're not sheep. We're humans, we're independent thinkers. At least, that's the idea. But I have never seen anything more anti-man than I saw from Stephen Colbert on CBS the other night talking about artificial intelligence. Here are the poker cards laid on the table.
I'm not that worried about AI. I just doesn't get my blood going to get worried about AI. I think of some positive aspects of it. I mean, I've seen how humans have handled history, and not great. And so I'm ready for the, you know, big machines that make big decisions programmed by fellows with compassion and vision. You know, I'm ready for the machines to tell us what to do.
That's everything. That's everything. Man doesn't have a good history. Looking at our flaws, not our achievements. Rather be programmed by machines of compassionate elites that know better than you or I how we should be controlled. And finally turning control over individually to those machines. That's the poker cards. That's the full hand. That's the hatred of man. And how far they've come from that civil rights slogan. I am a man. The American Western Weekend is behind me at Globe Life Field here in Arlington, Texas. It kicks off this weekend. Luke Bryan Friday night, Post Malone Saturday night, bull riders and rodeo riders, but also cutting horse competitions. It's a full weekend celebration of American Western culture. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a young cowboy who's competing for $1 million against his brother right here on The Will Cain Show. It's the American Western Weekend right here at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. And welcome back to The Will Cain Show, streaming live at FoxNews.com, on the Fox News YouTube page, the Fox News Facebook page, and always on demand, Apple, Spotify, Fox News Podcast, or right here on YouTube. Hit subscribe. There's an awesome weekend ahead. If you are in Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, drive on over to Dallas. Head up to Arlington for the American Western Weekend, where you have a rodeo, you have concerts from Luke Bryan and Post Malone, and you have Western Horse Weekend as well with cutting horse competitions. And you will see young men like my next guest, Dawson Hay, who will be in a saddle bronc competition this weekend. Welcome to the Will Cain Show. What's up, man?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
So I don't want to take anything for granted, anybody watching. I want you to tell me what is saddle bronc versus bareback versus every other horse competition in a rodeo?
So they call saddle bronc riding like the classic event of rodeo. It was one of the first events. It goes back to when they're training wild horses that they caught out on the range, and then it became a competition, you know, so you can stay on for the 8 seconds, and then, you know, spurring got involved, and I think bareback riding came a little later. It was, I think bareback riding used to be with a rope, kind of like a bull rope, and then it turned into a suitcase handle rigging, and basically That's it.
So with saddle bronc, you are, it's a really small saddle. It's not a traditional Western saddle you're sitting in, but it's got stirrups that your feet are in the whole time, right?
Yep.
And then your rope, like you said. And then, I mean, what do I know? It looks like clearly the strategy is like when he goes down, you're extended. When he comes up, you come up with your legs?
Yeah, so it's a modified saddle. The earlier ones had, they just cut the horns off of normal saddles, and then over the years they've evolved into it's a tighter fitting saddle, it's got no horn, and it's got stirrups that are free to move from front to back. So in the saddle bronc riding, and you got your bronc rein as well that you have to use with one hand. So when the horse leaves the chute, you have to reach up and have your feet in front of the shoulders by the time that horse lands. And then after that, when the horse comes up, your feet go back. And when he breaks over, you try and get your feet to the front as quick as possible. And the better your toes are turned out and the better you handle your rein, all goes into your style points on the bronc.
I don't think I've ever been to a rodeo where somebody hasn't watched. So we should say Dawson's married. He's got a young girl over here, just off a young child right here, his daughter right off camera. So the point of the next question is it's all going to be okay, but I've never been to a rodeo where somebody hasn't watched what you guys do and go, for the guys. Now, I heard you said to cut off the horn, but
yeah,
I mean, you guys are, you're taking some shots, Dawson.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, it's honestly not as bad for that question as far as you're going. The bareback riding is a little harder on.
Is that right?
That area, I would say. But
I mean, do you wear protection?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you got a cup on?
Yeah, well, we got kind of modified groin shorts with padding and stuff.
Okay,
yeah, but
I'm happy for you.
They're definitely.
I'm happy it's all worked
definitely
out.
Definitely probably could have more padding.
And you have the evidence that everything's fine.
Yeah.
So you and I have at least two things in common, one of which I'm surprised at, one I'm not. Okay, so first of all, I've read this. We'll see how accurate the internet is. Your favorite country music singer?
Favorite country music singer, I would have to say Zach Bryan.
Well, that's not what the internet said.
George Strait or...
These are all in my top five.
Robert Earl Keen.
Still hitting the top of the charts, but you said, somewhere you said Cody Jinks.
I do love Cody Jinks, yeah,
he's
for sure.
He might be
absolutely
number one for me.
Yeah.
This gives me way less faith in my follow-up on what we were going to have in common, which would shock me because you're 25 years old. But I did read that your favorite movie is the same as my favorite movie. Now, I was alive in the 90s when it came out. I mean, you were not.
No.
So you don't even know what I'm talking about. Somebody's making stuff up about you on the internet.
My favorite movie is Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's
well, they
when
got
it came
that
out
one
the
right.
90s.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than Lonesome Dove.
No, my wife had actually never seen it, believe it or not. And I've probably watched it 10 times.
It gives me faith you're 25 years old and it holds up and then is like still up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we grew up watching that kind of thing, old Westerns, and I don't know. It's just kind of how we were brought up.
One more on movie then. Since you just gave me Zach Bryan, George Strait, Robert Earl Keen, you gave me basically your top five of country music. What's your favorite modern Western? Since you have good taste with Lonesome Dove, what, like, last 10 years?
Last 10 years? Modern Western?
I've got mine ready to go.
Django was pretty awesome.
Django Unchained?
Mm-hmm.
Hell or High Water?
Hell or High... I haven't seen them.
No?
No.
Oh. It's Taylor Sheridan who did Yellowstone, Bank Robbers right here in Texas. And you're from Canada, right?
Yep.
All right, so you are competing this weekend against your brother.
Yes.
Right? How old is he?
So he's just turned 27 in January.
And this one's for $1 million.
Yep. It's, you know... I got to ride here last year. I was up for the million last year. Logan didn't quite make it through. I'm not sure if he didn't make it to the four-man, though, but it was pretty awesome going through the contenders. I went to the exact same tournaments that he went to, and then making it through to Abilene, and then now we're here, you know, side by side. He had a bit of a rough year last year with some injuries, and see him riding is best as he has in his whole career right now, and he's healthy, and shoot, he's kicking butt, and it's pretty special to be able to compete, you know, alongside your brother. I mean, there's only 10 guys, so two of the 10 are Hay brothers. It's pretty special.
Yeah. But you want the million.
Yeah.
Your brother.
Yeah. I think everyone wants it, but he'd be I'd be hoping if I didn't get it, it'd stay in the family.
So I said this at the top of the show. I talked to JB Mooney about this. You know, I said this is probably the most quintessentially American sport, maybe in a debate with football. But he said, well, I think it's older than football. It dates back further to America. But, you know, you're Canadian, and I know rodeo's big in Australia. It's big in Brazil. It's big in Canada. So the truth is the sport is even about something quintessential that is more than American. It's about some kind of spirit and culture that it's odd to think about it. It spans even further than the West. Like, because I could draw a line from Texas up through Montana into Canada and say you've got a consistency of a mindset, of a culture.
Yeah.
But it even jumps to Australia and Brazil. So what is it about rodeo that defines its culture?
I think it's the relationship between, you know, the Western lifestyle is the relationship with horses. It's been as far back as, I mean, they built this country, basically. It's such a special bond that, you know, cowboys and everyone has with the horses and Western lifestyle, and I think that's something that'll always stay strong.
Yeah. Yeah, and how tied it is, I think, to people that live, my guess would be, people that live on the edge,
mm-hmm.
like the frontier. In all those places, I can't speak to Brazil, I've never been there, but Australia, Canada, America, you're talking about people that lived on the edge of civilization.
Yep.
And then the edge of risk, the edge of injury or death.
Absolutely, and I mean, growing up, raised on a ranch, you know, you're around this stuff your whole life, and the majority of the things you get to watch on TV and everything that you do socially had to do with rodeo or the Western lifestyle. So I honestly couldn't imagine growing up a different way or a better way. It's a unique set of values that a lot of the people in this sport have. You know, everyone's very, very faithful, very family oriented, and it's something that you just don't change from.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. I hope you beat your brother, because I haven't met your brother. I hope you get the million, and we'll have a lot of fun watching you ride.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you being here.
Okay.
All right, that's going to do it for me today from the American Western Weekend right here at Globe Life Field. If you're around this weekend, you would be very pleased to find out this is a good way to spend your entertainment dollars. I'll be back here again tomorrow morning if you want to turn on Fox and Friends, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Maybe I'll even be on one of these horses tomorrow morning. So we'll fill you in a little more on the American Western Weekend. That's gonna do it for me today here on The Will Cain Show. I'll see you again next time.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.